This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Thursday. And tomorrow is the last day of our year-end membership drive. If you haven't yet and you're able, please consider a donation today. Just go to aspenpublicradio.org and click the big red donate button. Now, the news. 13 candidates have applied for 3 open seats on the Garfield County Library Board. As Eleanor Bennett reports, the county commissioners took over the appointment process in 2023 amid an ongoing book banning controversy.
The commissioners said they wanted a wider range of views on the library board after a group of residents petitioned to restrict certain books with explicit adult content. Opponents of this increased county oversight say the commissioners are supporting a movement to ban books about LGBTQ people and other marginalized groups. Several library trustees will join the commissioners in conducting the interviews Friday and give recommendations on their preferred candidates. The only incumbent running is Britt McClinn, who was first appointed to the Newcastle seat last year. The Rifle seat has been open since former trustee Myrna Fletchell stepped down early from her term this summer, and the Parachute Battlement Mesa seat is also open. The commissioners could make a final decision as soon as Monday. For Aspen Public Radio and Aspen Journalism, I'm Eleanor Bennett.
The library board interviews will take place in the county commissioner meeting room in Glenwood at 8 a.m. on Friday. The meeting will be open to the public and streamed on Zoom. In arts and culture news, Mountain Valley Developmental Services is hosting a holiday open house tonight. It'll take place at its weaving studio in downtown Glenwood Springs from 3 to 5 p.m. The nonprofit works with children and adults with developmental disabilities. The weaving studio has been around since 1989, when an Aspen family donated a loom. The nonprofit has since acquired other looms, and Development Director Mara Masters says adult participants used the looms to create handmade holiday gifts.
They are weavers. They are artists, and they actually make all of the fabrics that are made into then textiles, like little bags. Yeah, they're beautiful. It's amazing, really.
Seasonal beverages and baked treats will also be available. In sports news, World Cup ski races in Colorado concluded last Sunday with the Birds of Prey Giant Slalom at Beaver Creek. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KDNK's Marilyn Gleason brings the highlights.
The U.S. men's ski team didn't exactly make headlines in World Cup races at Beaver Creek this weekend. But for local elite skier River Radimus, Sunday was a very good day. The racer from Edwards posted his career-best finish on the last day of the Birds of Prey World Cup. He finished in 6th place. He did it with the soundtrack of The Hobbit playing in his headphones, reports the Vail Daily. I was too tired to slow myself down, he said. On Friday, Radimus finished the Super G in 12th place at the top of the U.S. team's roster. Olympic silver medalist Ryan Cochran-Siegel was just behind him in 13th place. On Sunday, Swiss sensation Marco Odermatt came in first. Odermatt also won the season's first downhill on Thursday at Beaver Creek. The Men's World Cup moves to Val d'Isère in the French Alps for a giant slalom and slalom next weekend. The U.S. women's ski team, though farther afield, posted more exciting results. Racing at Canada's Mont Tremblant, 3 teammates skied into the top 15 in the first giant slalom World Cup on Saturday. That day, Michaela Schifrin, our star from Edwards, led the team in 6th place. U.S. women Nina O'Brien finished 10th and Paula Moltzen slid in at 13th place. The Women's World Cup Tour lands next in St. Moritz, Switzerland for downhill and Super G races this weekend. For KDNK News, I'm Marilyn Gleason.
In statewide news, students at the University of Colorado Boulder held a protest on campus last Thursday, calling on the school to end its contract with Key Lime Air. The Colorado-based company has provided charter flights for CU sports teams for more than a decade. In September, the company began conducting immigration enforcement flights for ICE. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KGNU's Don Davis reports.
Say it once, say it twice.
Say it once, say it twice.
We will not put up with ICE.
The rally called for the University of Colorado Boulder's athletic department to cut their financial ties to Key Lime Airlines, a Colorado airline based out of Centennial Airport in Inglewood. Key Lime is a known flight operator participating in immigration enforcement, busing detainees between ICE centers throughout the country. When Boulder Indivisible, along with other news organizations like Denver 7, asked for comment on the university's stance about claims pertaining to Key Lime, University Athletic Department spokesman Steve Hulbert said, quote, "The university does not, as part of its guidelines, request that potential contractors provide a list of other business relationships unless they are relevant to assisting the university in assessing the capacity and competency of the company." Reporting for KGNU Community Radio, I'm Don Davis.
These border walls have got to go.
Democratic Senator Michael Bennett, who's running for governor, has joined the list of prominent Colorado Democrats who want to change how the state draws congressional boundaries. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
Bennett wants Colorado to pause its voter-approved independent redistricting commission to counter President Trump's push in GOP-led states. The president wants those states to draw lines that benefit Republicans. Colorado has a split congressional delegation, 4 Republicans and 4 Democrats, and Democrats think they could draw more safe blue seats. Bennett said the state has no choice but to fight back against Republican gerrymandering. Any changes to Colorado's constitution would require voter approval next fall. Attorney General Phil Weiser, who is also running for governor, and Congressman Jason Crow both back changes. But other top Democrats, like the governor, say the state should stay above the redistricting fray.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, many ranchers in our region are starting to track and move their cattle with GPS collars. The technology can cost thousands of dollars, but as the Mountain West News Bureau's Hannah Mertzbach reports, funding is coming from some unexpected places.
Federal grants, nonprofits, and a carbon credit company, Kateri Carbon. It pays for GPS collars so cattle ranchers can draw customized virtual fences on an app. Kateri founder Ben Varis says this prevents overgrazing.
Improving your native perennial grasses results in improvement in soil carbon.
Kateri measures any new carbon stored in the ground and sells it to companies trying to offset their emissions, including Shell. The Center of Biological Diversity's Stephanie Feldstein takes issue with this model. She says carbon credits like this allow oil and gas companies to keep polluting other places.
That's not really helping advance anything in the fight against climate change.
Varis says the company is working with 18 ranchers in our region. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The Trump administration has withdrawn new funding guidelines for homeless services. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Bert Johnson has more.
The Department of Housing and Urban Development is radically reducing the amount of money for permanent supportive housing. These are homes for people with disabilities that may need lifelong support. Instead, funding will go to transitional housing for people living on the streets, group shelters, and outreach workers. Advocates say that in Colorado, thousands living in permanent supportive housing may lose their homes. Nationwide, more than 170,000 people could be evicted. I'm Kyle Harris, Denverite.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.